Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of the Lord on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving, for our God is a good God and greatly to be praised. Welcome to all who are joining us in worship this morning, either here or on the live streams. We're always pleased to welcome you or however you may be worshiping with us. And I guess since we live stream, it's also whenever you join us, because sometimes it's not on a Sunday morning, but perhaps it's 6 years from now. So hopefully the sermon will stand the test of time. And for those who are worshiping here, we celebrate, we have a time of fellowship at the end of worship in the McClellan Room, which is just at the back of the sanctuary. Coffee is to the right, and we hope that you will have an opportunity to stay and visit with us this morning. Announcements were on the screen before you as you came in to worship, so I hope you had the opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. We're a little bit slower this week. The last few weeks, we've been struggling to find space to get everything into the bulletins, but this morning you will notice there is space. We are looking towards the summer and the summer camping season. The information on both camps, Gracefield and Camp Action Biblique, is available. And if you would like to if you have a young person that would like to go to camp, it's probably about time we really started thinking about it. Camps will start filling up fairly quickly. So please take a look at that information or call the office if you can't find what you're looking for. We'll be happy to help you. Another, and then there is Collective 2026, which is our Presbyterian Church in Canada-wide youth event this year. As last time, we are celebrating Collective with our partners in the United Church. The event will be held at Brock University in St. Catharines in early August. So if you know a young person who would be interested in attending Collective 2026, again, this is one of those things where it's time to start your planning, and more information is available from the church office, and there is travel assistance available from the Synod of Quebec and Eastern Ontario for young people who are interested in attending this year. As we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. I'll hide that one away. We won't be confused next week. Friends, let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. And we shall say together the call to worship. The call to worship this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. The heavens proclaim God's righteousness. We behold God's glory.
God has gone up with a shout, with the sound of a trumpet.
Give thanks to God, O faithful ones.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of glory, sovereign of all the nations, the risen and ascended Christ calls on us to carry your message of life to all people. Led by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we witness always to the hope to which we are called as we share Christ's love to the ends of the earth. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is 267 in the Book of Praise, or as the hymn appears before you on the screen, Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn 267.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, Jesus tells us that repentance and forgiveness is to be offered in his name. Therefore, let us come this day confessing our sins to God, who assures us of new life through the power of Christ's redeeming love. This morning's prayer of confession is unison and will appear on the screens. God of grace and glory, you have clothed us with power from on high. Christ, who is risen and ascended, has opened our minds to understand you and our hearts to know the hope to which you have called us. Still, we feel helpless in the face of sin, paralyzed by evil's sway in the world, unsure of your power to redeem what seems lost. Convict us of our doubt, convince us of our heritage, and renew us, O God, in your wisdom, mercy, and power. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as Christ is our witness, God's power to pardon is immeasurable. Therefore, proclaim this good news to the ends of the earth. Through the mercy of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as God has forgiven us, let us also be forgiving of one another and share with one another a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Will appear on the screens, He is Lord. Are you going to come see me this morning? Jake's coming too. Good morning. Oh, and Kian, of course. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Excellent. Here we are at the end of Easter, or almost. Easter, the season of Easter, lasts for 50 days. So here we are. Did you get Easter eggs every day for 50 days? Yeah, I know, man. That's disappointing, isn't it? I would go for Easter chocolate eggs every day for 50 days. Of course, I'd be 300 pounds, but it's a price I'm willing to pay. And sometimes here in church, there are things that happen. Sometimes in life, too, things happen. Somebody talks about something, and you're not quite sure what it's all about, right? Can't quite grasp the idea. And so what happens if somebody's trying to explain something to you and you don't get it the first time? What do you think happens? Well, sometimes we make comparisons, don't you? It's like this over here. Right? We try to compare two things to something else. And then sometimes there are things that are even bigger than that. How do we understand them? Well, That's why in the church, and in other places in the world too, we have things like art. Okay, this is not going to be art. I don't want to set the bar too high this morning, but that's why we have art and we have music. Art and music help us to understand things that maybe we don't understand. Is that helping any yet? Oh, come on! It's been a long time since I took my art class in grade 11 and 12 in high school, and I was a lousy artist. But this morning's one of those mornings that's hard to understand. Church has always struggled to explain what we're talking about this morning. And so sometimes, that's a pretty lousy cloud, but you get the drift. There we go. This morning, we celebrate in church, we're going to talk about this downstairs, Ascension, the day that Jesus went to heaven. And that's hard for us to understand because we've never done that, right? And so how do we understand it? What does it mean? Those are some of the questions we're going to talk about up here this morning. Some of the questions you're going to talk about downstairs in Sunday school. And the church has always just struggled a little bit to figure out exactly how to understand it. And even the art hasn't been perfect. There are many, many paintings in very prestigious art galleries and museums in big fancy churches where they have the art on the wall that depict the Ascension like this. What do you think that is? Ray, what do you think? What? Feet. Exactly. We don't exactly know how to talk to people about Jesus ascending into heaven. And so there's a lot of art in the church that just shows it like that. Jesus' feet sticking out of the bottom of the cloud as he rises up to heaven. And his disciples, that's what these are. See, now it makes sense, doesn't it? And his disciples looking up, wondering what's going on. Give me one second. We should include the choir too. Everybody should know how wonderful, what a wonderful artist their minister is. I should go to paint night some night, eh, Barb? Oh, by the way, paint night, if you haven't gotten the news, is canceled. But it will be rescheduled. And so this morning, through our stories that we hear from Scripture, we're going to talk about Jesus ascending into heaven. And in your lesson downstairs, in our time with Scripture this morning up here, we're going to talk about how Jesus ascended into heaven and what that means. It's not always the most easy thing to understand, but it is one of those great things that happens in the life of Jesus that is significant for us who are people of God. So listen carefully this morning to Laura and Trish as they do their teaching. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you learned this morning when you come back up for cookies after worship, or after Sunday school and worship time, all right? So you come tell me what you learned about the Ascension. I'm excited to find out. Thank you so much. And lest you think that I just told a fib to the young people, you can go home this afternoon and you can Google art, Christian art and ascension, and you will discover the feet of Jesus. Friends, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our minds to see the power of Scripture to give light. Enlighten our hearts that we might see Christ in whom all in all whom we meet, in the name of the one holy and living God, to whom we give all glory. Amen.
The New Testament reading today is from Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about that all of that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing upward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards the heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from your heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. The epistle reading is Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is hope which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of the great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on the right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, fullness of him who fills in all. The gospel reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, and everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them, was carried into heaven, and they worship him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Once more, let us join our voices in praise as we sing the hymn. Clap your hands, O faithful people. The words to the hymn will appear on the screens. And continuing to read from God's word as it is given in Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is King over all the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite books from back in the days when I was working as an interim minister is a book on visioning entitled The Path, Creating Your Mission Statement for Work and for Life by the author Lori Beth Jones. Right there. Still got it. And in this book, Lori Beth Jones gives us a very simple recipe for a vision statement or a mission statement. The recipe is this. A vision statement should be one sentence in length. It should be memorable by a 12-year-old. Understandable by a 12-year-old. And you should be able to recite it from memory at gunpoint. Got those three? One sentence, understandable by a 12-year-old, and ingrained in your soul. Perhaps that's a nicer way of putting it than from memory at gunpoint. But there you have it. There are words that have traveled with me through something like 30 years now. And at the heart of it all is the understanding that if we are truly to understand our true purpose, that it must be focused and it must define who we are. And yet, there are times when that sort of brevity can become an obstacle. Meditating on these texts that we have heard this morning and the broader significance of the ascension of Jesus in the life of the church, I was struck by how we seem to gloss over the significance of this day most of the time. Think of the section of the Apostles' Creed that mentions the ascension. It's at the second half of that second clause of the creed. After defining who God is the Father and the maker of all things, and then providing us with the summary of Jesus' life and teaching in very cursory manner, as creeds are wont to do, the creed then goes on to say these words. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And usually when we say it in church, that's exactly how we say it. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The ascension gets four words. And that's it. It seems to me it's all too easy to take all of these events that we've been talking about over this last little while. The events of the church takes 50 days to commemorate and celebrate the season of Easter, and to reduce them to some sort of shopping list. And in so doing, we lose the significance of their meaning to our faith. Today, we stand near the end of the great 50 days. 50 days during which the disciples of Jesus tarried with the risen Lord. 50 days during which they journeyed from fear and uncertainty locked in that upper room to 12 people who were ready to be unleashed and to change the world as we know it, as they are sent out to proclaim the gospel message that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Son of God who came down from heaven to show us what life might look like lived in the Spirit of God. Who came down from heaven to cloak himself in our human flesh and fleshliness and to put our sin to death upon the cross. And who rose again, first from death to life by the power of the Father, that we might know that there is nothing, no power, no principality in heaven or on earth that can separate us from God's saving love. And then he rose again from earth to heaven to once more sit with God in heaven, to uphold our cause before the throne of God, and to assure us that we too have a place in the presence of our Lord for all eternity. It is so much more than just a shopping list. Resurrection, check. Ascension, check. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Yep, got it. As far as the earth is from the heaven, and as far as we are from those first century followers of Jesus, whose reaction Luke records for us today, and this is one of those rare Sundays where we get to hear from Luke twice in the same day. Luke, the author of the Gospel, and Luke, who is the author of the Acts of the Apostles as well. But in some great and mysterious way, which can only be described by our belief in a transcendent God, we are knit into these stories. Here again, verses 4 and 5 that we just heard from Acts chapter 1. While staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he says, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Or again, in Luke's gospel. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city and wait until you have been clothed with power from on high." It is true, and it goes without saying, that we who identify as followers of Jesus cannot read Scripture dispassionately, as if it were just a history book of some great man who lived 2,000 years ago, who did great things, and yet does not involve us. But in those verses that we've just heard, when Jesus turns and says, "You are witnesses of these things," these are verses in particular that have the power to draw us into the story. Here, like an actor on the stage, Jesus breaks the fifth wall and turns from the assembled crowd of the 12 followers and perhaps others who were with him and turns to the audience and speaks directly to you, the present day church. You are witnesses. The question that remains for us, for the church of every age, is how shall we respond? How do we become Christ's witnesses? Will we read these words and say, oh, that's nice, and keep on doing what we've been doing before? Or will we accept the invitation to share in the proclamation of the gospel and bear Christ out into the world? The British pastor and hymn writer Fred Pratt Green has written maybe one of my favorite, it's not a line, it's a whole stanza of a hymn, and I've probably mentioned it to you before because I have a strong tendency to repeat myself. But Fred Pratt Green, in a hymn entitled The Church of Christ in Every Age, opens that hymn with these words. The Church of Christ in every age, beset by change but spirit-led, must claim and test its heritage and keep on rising from the dead. Every generation must find for itself the kernel of truth that is the gospel in our time and in our place and bear it forward into the world. You are witnesses, for you have seen these things. The good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed to us must move us forward out into the world. And sometimes we wonder, well, exactly what does that look like? Different places, different times. One never quite knows what it looks like. We just know it will be our own. And it will be praise. Our witness is the witness of praise. Capital P praise and small P praise. Small P praise is that joy that we feel in our heart because we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins and has shown us the love of God and has promised to us that God is reclaiming the world as his own. And then capital P praise, the stuff that we do here. I would be remiss if I didn't draw our attention to the psalm, because that's what I've been doing all year long, right? And the words that begin the psalm, clap your hands, O you people, shout for joy to the God of our salvation. That we witness to God in this place, and we prepare our hearts that we might go out and declare God in action and deed in the world. And then we return here once more. Like, anybody have a Roomba in their home? You know, the little robot vacuum cleaner that sweeps while you're away? We don't. It sounds like a good idea, but calling never goes away, so it could never sweep there. But the Roomba, right? It starts at its docking station, and then it goes out, and it does its little thing for a while, and then it returns back to its docking station. The docking station is the one repeatable thing, the one constant in the Roomba life. Every day, it will take a different route around your house. It will bump into new pieces of furniture tomorrow, ones that it has never bumped into today. But it will always return to the station. where it is recharged and where it rests until once more it goes out. And the same is true for us and this place. This is our docking station, where we come to be recharged and renewed, where once more we hear the word proclaimed and learn the goodness of our Lord, that we may go out once more and share the goodness of a Lord with everyone that we bump into today. Let us take this opportunity then to recommit ourselves to being the witnesses of God. And let us pray that God will embolden us with the wisdom and knowledge to proclaim his word today as he has through generations before us. And in all things, let us praise the Lord. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Living Faith document, chapter 3.5, which is the section that deals with the ascension. We read, Jesus is Lord. This is a responsive reading. Jesus suffered, died, and was buried, but God raised him from the dead. Risen and ascended, he is alive now, the living Lord.
His resurrection means that our faith is not empty.
The final victory is assured over all evil powers, which destroy and deform life, and that death, the last enemy, is conquered. The forces of the evil one still wage war against us. The destructive powers are still present, but their end is not in doubt. We await the full revelation of our Lord's triumph. We worship our ascended Lord, reigning in godly power. He is our high priest and advocate, interceding before the throne on our behalf. Through him, we offer our sacrifice of praise with prayer for all to the Father. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, God has given us the gift of Christ, risen and ascended for the life of the world. Therefore, let us offer our gifts in return, that others may know this glorious news. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. God of all glory and majesty, we give you thanks for the gifts of your Son and his power at work in our lives and our gifts. Bless these gifts for the benefits they afford in bringing life to others in your name. Bless our lives that we may be your witnesses from here to the ends of the earth as we love and serve you, O God Most High. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Omnipotent God, we give you praise for the ministry of Jesus Christ, resurrected and ascended, and who now intercedes on our behalf before your throne of grace. As Jesus came into our world to reveal your healing power to us and to generations before us, we lift our hearts today to pray for our world, and we do so. We pray that you will fill us with your grace. We pray for the world which you have created, for all its leaders, peoples, and nations, that they may exercise a spirit of wisdom and justice as they serve the common good. Shield all who suffer this day from the terrors of violence and war. Bring them to safety and new life in you. Unite us together as one world family, gathered up in your love and clothed in the power of your peace. We pray for all who long to experience the immeasurable power of your love. Open our hearts to sing your praises and embolden us to share the story of your blessing, that all may come to know your love revealed to us in the living and ascended Christ. Bless your people everywhere with food and shelter, health care and employment sufficient for their flourishing, that all may thrive together by the riches of your grace, and fill us with a joy for justice, that we might be inspired to work for the prosperity of all. We pray this day for all who are in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing love and the power of Christ to bring life in the most difficult times. Keep us mindful of the hope and great power that we have in you as we offer your healing to others. We pray for all who have died, that together you will bring us to one glorious inheritance in Christ, the one who fills all in all. All of this we pray in the name of him who was raised to live and reign in power with power for us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 275 in the Book of Praise. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Hymn 275. God's Spirit is poured out upon us to make our hearts strong with love and bold with praise, that we may proclaim God's Son to the ends of the earth. May the glory of God fill you with peace, the beauty of Christ strengthen you in his service, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with peace this day and forevermore. Amen.